Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Skip, you were tested and not this week, buddy. Anyway, hello everybody. Welcome to Big News Wednesday with me, and Skip is probably mad at me now, and JR Jackson. JR, how's it going?
The only other test I think I'm noticing right now is with my internet connection, and doesn't seem to want to really hold on. We'll see as the show goes on. Big news. That's the first news.
It is. I'm not yet sure how that could be Skip's fault, but I'll figure it out. I'll figure out something. Anyway, we're glad to have you here. Today is a pretty big news, or at least I feel like to the extent that American political news can be kind of fun, I feel like we're gonna bring that today. This is Big Fun Wednesday, everybody. Okay, I want you to get ready for it. We have a holiday themed episode in a couple different ways. It's gonna get a little bit fiery, a little bit hot in here, you know what I mean. So I think we're gonna have some fun. And through the course of the next 90 minutes, we're gonna be talking about a lot. You likely will be talking about a lot too. And if you'd like to address any of it to us in the form of tweets or super chats or comments or anything like that, we'll be responding as we go. But first, let's start off with you giving to us the best Christmas present of all, which is liking the video and sharing the stream. That would be great. Really, it's a present to the algorithm more than us, but I will accept it on the algorithm's behalf. And with that said, JR, you ready to do? Someone's saying my audio seems a bit quiet and tinny. I didn't change anything. I don't know, it looks pretty good on here. Anyway, we'll go with it. You ready to do this, JR?
I think so. I mean, you're a little quiet and tinny, but sure.
Am I coming through quiet and tinny to you?
No, you're not.
Okay. Well, I'll yell then. Okay, I learned it from Cenk. Okay, with that, let's jump into the news.
Joy to the world.
My tree.
Very well done. That's a bad thing that happened. Someone burned down Fox News's tree, and it is wrong and unacceptable. JR, do you agree?
It is. No, honestly, it is. I want to clarify the laughter. The laughter was because of the Griswold My Tree, because that's actually one of my favorite movies of all time and franchise. Let's keep it real. Yeah. The National Lampoon's Vacations are the best. That's what has me laughing. So before anyone starts talking about how the damage report and John and JR are laughing at an arson, no, that's not what I was laughing.
We don't like arson. We don't like arson. We don't like property destruction or anything like that. So don't do that. But that said, it's obviously hilarious. Especially because if there were to be a war on Christmas, I mean, I think this is what it would look like, right? But I want to just quickly say something that I said in our production meeting this morning. And maybe it makes me a bad guy, or maybe it makes me crazy, but I've always loved Christmas trees. Mm-hmm. And Christmas trees are supposed to be, when you look at it, you're supposed to get some feelings. You're supposed to be impressed by it. It's supposed to be bright and all of that. So in a way, is a immolated Christmas tree, isn't that the ultimate Christmas tree? Like, we put lights on them. Why not set it on fire? Then it's the most impressive it'll ever be. No? Is that just me?
Well, maybe, you know what? If it wasn't for like potentially the pollution of everyone lighting off Christmas trees, that would actually be a nice way to like, it was like an ending to the season, you know, what, December 26th, maybe January 1st, light the tree on fire and then it ends and then, you know, use it for some more kindling in the fireplace. I don't know.
Yeah, it probably would be really bad for the environment. But in any event, the person who did this last night has been caught. It's a 49-year-old man that police said was homeless, was arrested on charges, including criminal mischief, arson, and trespassing. Wasn't clear if he had an attorney who could comment on the charges. And the police said the man had a lighter, but it was unclear whether any accelerant was used. So other than that, we don't know anything about the nature of this person or why they did it, why they targeted this tree. And by the way, neither does anyone else commenting on this. All we know is what we just told you, but that is not going to stop people from jumping to conclusions and trying to imply that like a combination of Alec Baldwin and AOC just burned down a Christmas village. So with that said, sorry, continue.
The good news is that no one was injured, no one was hurt, no one was killed. It was property strictly, what I've heard at least, of the Christmas tree. I don't know if any buildings were, you know, damaged or even charred. But that's the main thing, that no one was hurt, no one's injured. So the thing is now that we need to figure out who it was, which they've figured out now, the speculation and then blame, that's just opportunistic moves at that point. Everyone knows. So then once you start making opportunistic moves, it kind of shows you kind of don't care that much about the fact that the tree was lit on fire and that it was a potentially dangerous situation with a fire in the middle of the street. So anyone who wants to start speculating for their own purposes of self-grandeur, then just understand that you don't care about this.
100%. Like that. And by the way, like we just played the video again. That tree looks awesome on fire. Honestly, let it burn, man. Let it be its best tree. And its best tree is a flaming tree, apparently. But I am curious what you think. We apparently do have a poll, or at the very least, will soon. Oh, yes, we do have it. It's available at tyt.com/polls. How do you feel about Fox's Christmas tree being burned down? We've been very clear, we're against arson. You can answer the war on Christmas is real or burn, baby, burn. We're just curious. And in this case, we're going to try to get the results a little bit later on in the show, and we'll let you know what you think. But with that, we've been previewing that the right is going to lose their mind about this and be like physically incapable of just enjoying a burning tree. So with that, let's jump into this. Here's a bit of Fox and Friends.
Normally during the Christmas season, we start the program by showing an outside shot of our all-American Christmas tree on Fox Square. But last night, shortly after midnight, somebody climbed up in the tree and lit it on fire. It's beginning to look a lot like arson. Right now there is somebody who is in custody and is being interviewed by local police.
Who sets a Christmas tree on fire?
Who sets a Christmas
tree? Well, I mean, it's just part of the rampant, no city is safe, no person is safe from the subway on down.
No more music, no more tree.
I think it's
infuriating.
I think it tells the bigger story. I mean, since this city is so out of control.
Okay, so we'll turn to the city being out of control. First of all, no more music, no more tree. Wait, why no more music?
Yeah.
I feel like you're giving up for some reason. You know, that's not her tree, right? Like they can still have I have a Christmas tree in my living room right now. They're not all burned. But I do want to give him credit. It's beginning to look a lot like arson. That's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah.
Good job, Ducey.
Yeah, it's the thing. And so again, the good news is that no one was hurt. And it seems the only property that was damaged was the tree, which can be replaced. So yeah, I mean, even that little half joke from Ducey about it's beginning to look a lot like arson because he's still blaming the guy who did it.
Yeah.
And it's a slight little joke because everybody's okay. This really could just be a breeze through, oh my God, look what happened moment.
Yeah.
Which it should
be. Yeah, well, exactly. And they can have a little bit of fun with it. And you know what? They're going to get another tree, by the way. It's a multi-billion dollar company. They can afford another tree. They're going to be just fine. By the way, what we try to do is bring you a little bit of joy to the holidays. That's all we do. And Vitingale is doing the same thing in the chat saying, it doesn't show signs of stopping. And I brought some corn for popping. That's good. See, that's funny. Anyway, you could heat up your eggnog or something. Anyway, they're very concerned about what this represents for the city and perhaps for the country. Though we want to give you a little bit more. You know, actually, we'll hold off a bit for Ainsley. But he's saying this shows how crazy the city is, that it's lawless. We can't have anything. She at one point says that like stretch of like touristy Manhattan is all we have left, which says a lot about her and her relationship to the city, by the way. She was saying that's all we have left before the burning, by the way.
Yeah, that's all we have. Okay, so again, this city, I can't believe it. That's what Kilmeade started with. So maybe that energy just decided to just create a domino effect now on their set, that limiting how horrible their city is. Again, there's many complaints you could have about your city, but this is an indication of how horrible the crime is there. Well, again, like most conservatives say, why are you still living that crazy lib city? Why don't you move to Texas? I heard Texas is open, Brian. I heard Elon was moving there. Everybody's moving to Texas, right? Take off, leave that horrible lib crime-ridden city that you hate so much and go to Texas. Hit up Dallas, do Fox and Friends South and see how you like it down there.
Yeah, 100%. They could, they choose not to. They like living in the places that they pretend to hate. That said, it goes a little bit beyond this. This isn't just about anarchy. It's also, again, about striking a blow against Christianity. So here is Ainsley Earhart.
Who sets a Christmas tree on fire?
It's a tree that unites us, that brings us together. It's about the Christmas spirit. It is about the holiday season. It's about Jesus. It's about Hanukkah. It is about everything that we stand for as a country, freedom and being able to worship the way that you want to worship. It makes me so mad.
Well, it does.
Wait, JR, I feel like sometimes, you know, in this weird job of ours, you just start talking, you don't know exactly where you're gonna end up. I feel like she ended up in kind of a weird place with some of that. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you said that, because I was ready to just try and lay into all these collisions of thought processes that she had. And again, like you said, maybe it was, I'm in like in a giving mood. It's the holiday season, John. I'm like halfway giving a pass, because none of that made any sense, but maybe she was just reeling, you know?
Yeah.
Because for some reason, the Christmas tree stands for Christmas, Hanukkah, bringing us all together and us worshiping the way that we like. None of that makes any sense. If it's about Christmas, Hanukkah, and Islam, which it isn't, but then it's bringing us all together, which it doesn't, because it represents one specific religion's holiday that can't bring us all together because it's separate. And we blatantly say it's separate. That's why there's this Fox's War on Christmas every year, because there's other people attacking your religion, you say. So that means there's a division. It doesn't bring us together. It's an indication of one specific celebration, and not about the celebration of a bunch of different religions, because it's the one religion's celebration. Yeah. What are we talking about? Okay, but yeah, like I said,
it's gotta be about just, everything.
She was trying to say it's a uniting image.
Sure.
And she should have stopped there.
And it kind of can be for some. I mean, I'm a godless atheist, hail Satan and all that. But I have a Christmas tree and I love Christmas trees. But when she says about Jesus, about Hanukkah, can we at least say that it's not about Hanukkah? It is at least, it has been co-opted for one religion celebration. It's not everything. Like, let's at least say that. Now, I'm sure that there are probably Jewish households that like having Christmas trees in the same way that an atheist might, or others. You know, it's sort of a symbol, which, by the way, and let's just acknowledge, the history doesn't matter and she doesn't care. It's not originally a Christmas thing. Like, it has nothing to do. Like, first of all, it's older than Christianity in that pagan religions would do things with certain types of plants and everything. But in terms of people actually regularly having their own Christmas trees, that's only a couple of hundred years old. Like, more than 1500 years went by between Jesus and the first like regular living room that had a tree plopped down it and a baby Yoda ornament. Like, that's not a thing that Jesus didn't have a tree. Let's be clear about that too. So like, I get it, it's a symbol, but let's not go so crazy. Can we just enjoy this for a little bit? Like, for decades and decades, centuries, right wingers got to set things on fire on people's lawns and they had a grand old time with it. Can we enjoy something burning in public for once, please?
No.
No, apparently not. Anyway, they're not the only Debbie Downers. And I'm gonna skip past more of the Kilmeade stuff. He has gone wild blaming left-wing DAs on this. It was apparently one individual, okay?
Jesus.
Meghan McCain tweeted, "I don't want to hear anything about how radical some of you believe Republicans to be when there are lunatics running around New York City setting Fox News Christmas tree on fire." First of all, it wasn't lunatics running around. It wasn't a mob, a pyro mob throwing Molotovs. It's a guy. The guy did it, and they caught him. They're gonna have another tree. So calm down a bit, Meghan McCain.
This is the point. I don't know if she has more to say. I think, right, John?
Well, she sort of did, because that's what she said. Now, I believe, according to a tweet I saw, the tweet she sent right before that tweet was this: "Whoa, dead. I don't even have words. This headline is so dangerous, stupid, intellectually dishonest about Tucker Carlson's 'Putin just wants to keep his Western border secure' thing." And whether that's the thing you want to focus on, I think we can agree that you don't get to have one individual burning down a dumb tree, have that cancel out the Republicans trying to overturn an election, strip away women's reproductive rights, effectively end voting as we know it, and on and on and on. They're out of their mind. It's not even Stevens, because a guy torched your symbol.
Well, that's what they need it for. They're like, oh my God, perfect opportunity, because look at all these horrible things we're doing and saying and finally being held accountable for, at least a little bit. So now we have to make sure that we even this whole thing and say, look what the left is doing to us. That's why Kilmeade went on his rants about defunding the police, and this town is full of criminals, and I can't believe that they're trying to hurt us. And look, they're coming for us now. It's to re-implement and galvanize that fear and anger from the people who are very much worried about the left coming for us, because they're starting to be exposed. And you can't have bad PR when you're trying to group a bunch of people together to think they have to overturn the entire country. So the violence that Meghan McCain is saying, I don't want to hear about it anymore. Yeah, you don't have to hear about it anymore, but we're going to keep hearing about it from the people who continue to perpetuate it, because that hasn't stopped yet. This is separate from someone burning a tree down. This is you telling people, hey, you need to grab your guns and go start coming after your elected officials and people who disagree with you. That's a whole different story. So let's not make these two things seem the same.
That's slightly more extreme, just slightly. But anyway, again, look, we've expressed our opinions on the whole tree thing. We're trying to make lemonade with the lemons we've been given, and arson is definitely wrong, and this is the worst thing that's ever been done. But we are curious what you think. So if you'd like to go to tyt.com/polls, you could vote. How do you feel about Fox's Christmas tree being burned down? You could vote the war on Christmas is real, or burn baby burn. And I love the image they chose for that. My tree. Look what you did to my tree. Maybe we'll find another tree for Fox News, and maybe it'll be filled with squirrels. Wouldn't that be a fun Fox and Friends episode, just being chased through the studio? Anyway, with that, we're gonna take our first break. We come back, there's someone else coming to ruin your holidays. We'll have that for you after this. Okay, JR, you ready for a little bit more madness?
Yeah, I'm always ready for madness. That's what I'm here for.
Let's do it. Lauren Boebert is two things: awful and not especially original, as you'll see in this image that she tweeted out with the caption, "The Boeberts have your six, Representative Thomas Massie." You know that she's cool, because she said that she has his six. No spare ammo for you, though. And you can see the image of her and her kids standing with varying levels of interest in what they're doing with long guns. And her, she's apparently the size of your average Frodo, I guess. Anyway, posing and so happy. I gave big guns to my kids, you know, because people were mad about Thomas Massie's thing, which we'll show you right here. And with Tommy Massie's image, people were mad because, hey, a kid just took a gun that was given to him as a Christmas present and shot up a school. So, like, having your family makes it seem kind of like heartless. And she decided, oh, wait, is that heartless? So sign me up. I got to get me some of that. And so, yeah, people were mad about the first one. We'll see if she can generate a similar energy around her just carbon copy of Massie's thing. But she is awful. We can agree on that.
Yeah, she's like, man, why not think of something that would get everyone talking negatively about me? Because, again, that's where the clout comes from. That's where the donations come from. That's where you generate your hate from doing hateful things. And then after people call you out for doing hateful things, saying that they're so soft, and they're so mean to me for calling out the hateful things that I was doing. So she's just like, ah, I missed my opportunity, but I can copy it. That's all I need to do, right? That's, you know, that's her legislative work. This is what she does in Congress. She does things like this to try and get some more attention so that people can hate her more. So she can say, look how everybody hates me, give me money. It's rinse and repeat,
yeah,
just with the next subject every time that they do things like this.
100%. And in particular, she loves the performative stuff around the guns. So she at one point pretended to carry her Glock to Congress in a video in January. She publicized a video in March of her walking around the fence Capitol grounds that including gunshot sounds. By the way, she like totally just lied about taking her gun in a video ad. She hadn't actually done that. She was just lying about it. Like, if I was actually an insane gun nut, wouldn't you be offended that some politician would lie to you about them carrying a gun because they think you're so stupid that you'll just support them because you also like to carry a gun literally every time you go to Del Taco? I would be mad about that. They apparently are not that mad. She also told a false story about a man who was beaten outside of her restaurant, Shooter's Grill, an incident that she claimed caused her to allow her staff to possess a firearm on them. That apparently was not why. It was probably just something grifty. So after that fake story, and she loves making up stories, totally, they supposedly carry guns. No word about what the staff started to do after they gave a bunch of people explosive diarrhea at Shooter's Grill. I don't know. I guess maybe those like those plexiglass shields, just in case of spray. You want to block the buffet. Not the salads. But anyway. She's just a big liar. She's a big liar and she's awful. That's
not balsamic vinaigrette that's spraying on the salads. So the
we need more brown gravy coming up.
So this is the other thing too. So think about this. So when Massey did it and it was happened right after that shooting up in Michigan, people are actually upset and want something done about it. And then you go with this. Okay, so he didn't specifically reference it, but we know how this looks. You got children holding guns after children were just killed by another child holding a gun. So if you just, and then what was the response to anyone saying, hey, look how insensitive this is to Americans? Now, this isn't a political discussion, to Americans, because I don't know or care what people's, what these kids' parents' political views were or where they, who they vote for. They died. And we just don't care. So if you think you just don't care about the folks that just got killed, they might be some of your voters. Because the kid who went shoot up people definitely didn't ask, hey, do your parents vote Democratic or Republican before he shot them? It doesn't work that way. So your lack of care for how people feel about what you're doing after people got, children got murdered, shouldn't be a political or Republican or Democratic thing. But with that in mind, imagine when something that was. That softball shooting, the congressional softball practice shooting, and Steve Scalise got shot. Now I want you to imagine if any other Democratic Congress people took a picture with their family holding guns a day or two after that and went swing and a miss, almost got one. Geez.
Batter up. Can you imagine? That's such a good point, JR.
How on fire, they were upset about people saying nothing about that. People not supporting the guy who shot that softball practice. They're like, oh, look at them supporting this guy. They haven't demeaned and pushed him back yet. You're openly supporting this kind of violent imagery. And when people point out, it's like, how dare they come for me this way? Or just say nothing at all. This is the way that they operate. This is how they move through the world, because there haven't been very many consequences for these actions yet.
If any at all. Yeah. Well, by the way, I wanted to give you a response to this from AOC, who tweeted, tell me again where Christ said, use the commemoration of my birth to flex violent weapons for personal political gain. Lol, at all the years Republicans spent on cultural hysteria of society erasing Christians and its meaning when they're doing that fine all on their own. She's a real Christian, and she understands less about what this season is supposed to be about than, but like, I'm gonna spend Christmas with my wife and my family, exchanging gifts, appreciating each other's time. If Jesus existed, I have a feeling he'd prefer my version of it. But she goes on to say, when you pose in front of a Christmas tree and can name all those guns, but can't name the gifts of the wise men. And then, hey, she's using my new favorite emoji. So anyway, Lauren Boebert responded saying, AOC uses her position as a congresswoman to attack my boys with their Christmas present.
Yeah, sure.
Not a good look, Sandy.
Sure.
Okay. And she that, knows. By the way, That is so much worse than the original thing, and let me explain why I think that. While also acknowledging that she's lying there, because she is a massive liar. She wants you to believe that those are their Christmas presents. I really doubt that that is the case. That is a lot of guns to buy all at once for your kids. But what she's doing there is, Massey was attacked for having kids holding guns so close to Ethan Crumbly killing people. But Ethan Crumbly was literally given his gun as a Christmas present. She wanted to pretend that her family was even more like the Crumblys than his. Massey never implied that those were Christmas presents to the kids when they were posing on their awkwardly small love seat. She's lying to make you think, no, I'm like the Crumblys. I give guns too. And here she is attacking me over it. How reprehensible is that?
As I mentioned before, when people tell racist jokes amongst themselves that aren't funny, the point is just to point out I'm a piece of garbage. It's the same thing here. It's like, I'm just a piece of garbage. I want you guys to know I can take what Massey did, which was insensitive and overlooked the tragedy. I can take it and I can connect myself to it and say I support that tragedy. But with enough wiggle room for when people say, hey, it looks like you're copying and saying you're giving your kids an opportunity to be another Ethan Crumbly. Oh, I can't believe you guys are trying to connect my children to this. How dare you attack my boys? You put your boys on a picture in front of the country, in the world, with a bunch of guns in their hands saying that they got this other representative's back, which means they're willing to shoot. Am I right? Is that what that means? If you ask someone's back, does that mean that you're holding a gun and it's just for fun? Or does it mean you're willing to do something with it by watching Representative Massey's back? Because you're in a what? What do you do when you're watching someone's back? Oh, you're fighting. Or maybe you're in a conflict, a war maybe, with someone else that you have to kill. No, all that just gets connected to it if you'd like to. And if you don't, it won't. Mm-hmm. It's frustrating.
Yeah, just buy your kids a book. How about that? We had to go through another thing of like, the kids are playing violent video games. Don't give them the new Call of Duty or Fortnite before you give them a literal assault rifle. I don't understand people. Anyway, Representative Presley, by the way, introduced a resolution to strip Boebert of her committee assignments over the insane lies that, oh, by the way, there's an updated video. She's been lying about Ilhan Omar even longer. There was another instance earlier in the year where she was telling that insane idea. It's changed literally every single time. And more than 400 congressional staff members are also calling on House leaders to reject her rhetoric. We'll see if that ends up happening. I feel like now we're a week out. It happened with Gosar, but I sort of doubt that it's going to happen this time.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. So we'll see what horrendous thing she does next week. oh, God only knows what they're going to say on actual Christmas now. Like them, like, I don't know, like wrapping like lights around a cannon or something. Anyway, with that, let's move on to one of the weirdest stories I've seen in a very long time. What does unvaxxed sperm have to do with Bitcoin? Ideally nothing, but apparently something. Because people who are super anti-vax and believe insane conspiracy theories about what it does to fertility and those sorts of things also have a little bit of an overlap in the awfulness Venn diagram with radical Bitcoiners. And so let's walk through a little bit of this. There's been some great reporting on Vice about this phenomenon. Unvaxxed sperm and the people behind it are not anti-vaccine to a degree. This is a new Bitcoin, by the way. They are completely anti-vaccine, baselessly claiming that 90% of the population has no need to take any vaccine and advocating that the pandemic can be medicated with alternative remedies like ivermectin, even though the only studies to claim the drug typically prescribed as a horse dewormer can treat COVID-19 have been retracted. There's a lot of people that now fit into that category of saying you either don't need to or shouldn't take the vaccine, instead just take a whole bunch of stuff that has nothing to do with COVID. So anyway, about a week ago, this new Bitcoin was launched called Unvaxxed Sperm. It saw explosive growth and then collapsed, leading some to believe that it might be a scam. I don't know why anyone would think that. Anyway, why did they launch this? Well, there was the Let's Go Brandon cryptocurrency, and that got people excited. So they decided why not do their own. And so anyway, why do they believe all this? They think that sperm and eggs of unvaccinated people will be worth a fortune because COVID-19 will have damaged the ability to procreate of others. And so you have the Bitcoin. This has become very common at protests too. You can see at this protest in Melbourne, actually, unvaxxed sperm is the next Bitcoin was a sign. And we're seeing this more and more, JR.
Come on, man. I guess it's a matter of time. We just have to wait and see how long it is before people realize one way or another where this has worked out. And I'm a big proponent of, I mean, if this is some kind of new money scheme to get people's cash or have them sign on to propel your business and your ability to grift, hey, man, more power to you, I guess, to a point. Unless there's eventually some laws around these kinds of scams that take people for the money, but the people that get taken for it, that's their money. They can throw it away all they want. So, I mean, if you want to go out there and stand in the cold and talk about how unvaxxed sperm is your new future, hey, have at it. Because eventually we're going to see the reality. And again, I've said it before, if I'm wrong about vaccinations and all this, especially this specific vaccination, we'll find out what we're still arguing for. Yeah, go out and stand in the cold and yell at people who have a different view than you do. But the reason we're yelling at folks who are unvaxxed and want to push this type of stuff is because you can harm others with it. Us sitting here vaccinated, we're not harming anyone. We don't have the possibility of infecting anyone. Now, if we do, that's because you were unvaxxed and you have an issue now.
We're arguably actively trying not to harm people. But anyway, yeah, like people are talking about this being a pump and dump. Yeah, a lot of this is. It's you launch it, it explodes, which means that the people who had it first make money. They sell it off, which leads more people to sell it off. So then the people who bought it last at a really high price just lose their money. All this is a transfer of money from people who are desperate to the people who started off the thing. That's what it is. And that's why, what does Let's Go Brandon or Unvaxxed Sperm have to do with any of this? It's just stupid branding to lure in a particular type of sucker. That's all it is. You like Let's Go Brandon? Well, buy this cryptocurrency that has literally nothing to do with any of that. But the important thing is that you give me your money. And that's what they're doing.
You notice none of these names of these new cryptocurrencies are United America or unite the country. All these things that they say
they're
about,
to each other.
Yeah, because Democrats are the divisive party. So, you know, considering they're all for uniters, I'm waiting for that uniters name of cryptocurrency.
You're gonna be waiting for a while. By the way, I'm well aware of the double meaning of, in this particular case, the term that I used. I'm not happy with it, but it is also accurate. Anyway, by the way, so what are they gonna do with some of this money? Well, first of all, nothing, because it's not going to be here in 2 weeks. But what they use to lure in the people they want to scam is, they say they're going to donate money to anti-vax doctors or whatever. They're going to launch a version of Tinder for purebloods. Mm-hmm. So that's taken from the Harry Potter thing to say that they, because they haven't been vaccinated, have pure blood, even though virtually every single one of those people has many vaccines in their system. And they apparently read Harry Potter without realizing or caring that the purebloods people aren't the good guys in the story.
Oh, even better that they're not the good guys.
Even better, yeah. Anyway.
And also, let's also just, maybe this is a stretch, I'm willing to admit that. But when I hear pureblood, I feel like that also gives a little reach to the white supremacist group who like to say their blood is pure because it doesn't have all those tainted other people's bloods mixed in with it. That same white supremacist thought process of, oh, we're purebloods. We don't want to taint it. It just triggers all the same emotions, which still, of course, gives a head nod to the certain groups of people, I think.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, look, I'm no more unvaxxed sperm for me. But anyway, AOC recently had a comment about Bitcoin. I just wanted to briefly mention. So she was responding to a question on Instagram saying, do you invest in Bitcoin? And she said, because we have access to sensitive information and upcoming policy, I do not believe members of Congress should hold or trade individual stock. And I choose not to hold any so I can remain impartial about policymaking. I also extend that to digital assets and currencies, especially because I sit on the Financial Services Committee. So the answer is no, because I want to do my job as ethically and impartially as I can, which is a great answer. It's consistent with what she's been saying for years about individual stock ownership. They should not be owning these things that they can manipulate. And so I agree with AOC there.
It's pretty straightforward.
I'm shocked to find out.
Yeah. 100%.
Okay, with that, I think it is time for us to go to our second break. We come back, we're gonna give an update on the Kellogg strike and then some big votes having to do with military spending going on. We'll be closing out our hour with those. Okay, with that, let's turn from frivolity to something very serious. Kellogg, which has been facing a strike for some time now, says that they are going to be replacing the striking workers, which is about the worst outcome I can imagine for this. But that said, we want to catch you up on all this so you understand the situation. Kellogg said just yesterday that a majority of its US cereal plant workers have voted against a new 5-year contract, forcing it to hire permanent replacements as employees extend a strike that started more than 2 months ago. That's their word, saying it's forcing them to do that. They could continue to just negotiate with the union there. They're choosing to fire them and replace them. So let's be very clear about that. But temporary replacements have already been working at the company's cereal plants in Michigan, Nebraska, Pennsylvania, and Tennessee, where over 1,400 union members went on strike back on October 5th as their contracts expired and talks over payments and benefits stalled. So they had worked. Workers had walked off of the line at 4 different plants in Battle Creek, Lancaster, Memphis, and Omaha after the union and the management at Kellogg's was unable to come to an agreement. And one of the things they have a problem with is this 2-tiered wage system, which some companies say helps them save money, which hardly seems like something that the workers are going to be interested in, but they're big fans of it. Union members say the proposed 2-tiered wage system will take away power from the union by removing the limit on the number of lower tiered employees. So how did we get to them effectively being fired, replaced? Well, there was a tentative 5-year agreement announced last week, and changes would have included both a 3% wage hike for longtime legacy employees, as well as increases for both newer transitional workers and new hires based on years of service. And so the union workers have decided that that is not sufficient, that they want to remain striking. And one of the presidents of one of the local unions says, "This is after just 1 year ago, we were hailed as heroes as we worked through the pandemic 7 days a week, 16 hours a day. Now apparently we were no longer heroes. We don't have weekends really. We just work 7 days a week, sometimes 100 to 130 days in a row. For 28 days, the machines run, then rest 3 days for cleaning. They don't even treat us as well as they do their machinery," which is a devastating point. Jeez. Both of the points, really. They were talked about as if they were heroes. Many workers were, and that lasted for a solid 3 or 4 months. And then we all sort of just moved on as a society and started yelling at them and calling them lazy, JR.
We go back to our norm. Well, the point, I think, partially of that was also to maybe encourage other people who maybe had left work out of fear and concern about the virus at the time, especially when we didn't know as much about it, to get them back into the workforce. Like, don't you want to be one of the heroes? Be one of the heroes, get back in the workforce, go to the grocery store, work there, go to, you know, wherever it is that these people are working, where they have to be the heroes to continue the supply to everyone else to survive in a way. That lid's been taken off now, and we've discovered that the real reason for that is to push people there, not to actually hail them as heroes, because you may not want to pay them after all of this work. Now, whatever the negotiations are, whatever Kellogg's has set aside or planned to actually pay people, those details that I don't know about, but as it comes to then now kicking people out and 1,400 workers and we're done with this and threats of moving the jobs to Mexico, all that stuff makes sense for what we see corporations always do when they're mistreating or trying to make sure they cut off just enough few more extra pennies to make more money off the workers' backs. And the question is are they really asking for too much? I would love to see what it is that they're asking for that's just above and beyond any kind of of realistic type of compensation for their work, because again, they're heroes. And does Kellogg's have the money to fulfill their demands and still be profitable? You would hope that
they
work together, you know?
I'm gonna guess. And look, are they heroes? They continue throughout the pandemic to work crazy hours, giving us access to, I don't even know how many products, a lot of products. We're gonna go into it in just a little bit. In terms of specifically what they're asking for, I have no idea what they objectively deserve or whatever. But what I do know is that unions are here to deliver for the workers. And if the workers overwhelmingly agree that it's not enough, this is what unions are for. And they can continue until they eventually come to some sort of agreement. The management is saying, we're not gonna do that. We won't continue with just the temporary workers. We're gonna fire a bunch of people. It's also entirely possible that this is just another really barbaric negotiating tactic, but we'll have to see. In any event, what Kellogg is doing here is obviously not in the interests of the workers. And so that potentially leads to should people be boycotting this stuff? Now, a lot of people already have been for a long time. And we wanted to show you some of the products that would be included if you wanted to participate in a boycott. So let's go to this. You can see that there is a lot of stuff there. Eggo waffles, so 11 is gonna have to participate in this boycott. All the way to like club crackers, I think those are. And Frosted Flakes and your Rice Krispies and your Go Lean if you're eating healthy cereal or whatever.
Let's go ahead and take the lid off, John. Let's take the lid off.
Pop-Tarts. What are you talking about?
Pop-Tarts.
What?
Pop-Tarts.
No.
No.
No, it's not there. I didn't see it. I didn't see it. No, no. Wait, the value pack too?
All of
they
it.
They also make the value pack? Well, they just make strawberry, right? Some other company makes brown sugar cinnamon. I have to imagine. No. See? Well, I didn't want the unfrosted strawberry anyway. Who wants that? I don't think a single person's eating those.
You've run into the brick wall, John, with your wokeness and awakened, yeah, eyes open stuff, trying to boycott companies. You know what you need to do? You need to take your Nikes and throw them into a fire and burn those too. Because only you crazy libs, you crazy libs like to boycott places, you know, and companies and all those. What's the matter with you guys?
That reminds me way back. I think it was Nikes that the right wing was mad at, and they were going to boycott. So Jordan photoshopped, like he did a video of a drone strike on a shoe, and he was like, I just destroyed my Nikes. And a bunch of right wingers like quote retweeted it as if it was serious. Anyway, but look, people are pointing out that I need to put my values where my mouth is rather than Pop-Tarts where my mouth is, which is what I've done for my entire life. If I want to be consistent with my values, I can't go around eating delicious, life-giving Pop-Tarts. Mm-hmm. And so I am boycotting Pop-Tarts until they reach a deal that the union agrees with, or I and the audience forget that I said this. I will not eat Pop-Tarts. That this is the sacrifice I will make for this nation. Instead, I will eat generic, nasty Pop-Tarts, okay?
Yeah, what like
I'm
the-
I'm not gonna eat Pop-Tarts.
Like the Safeway version or a Kroger brand, yeah, right?
No, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna find a good cafe that makes their own Pop-Tarts. Those will be good. Now, I know some of you might be saying, John, shouldn't you have been boycotting Pop-Tarts this whole time? And you're right, I should have been. have I been eating Pop-Tarts? Yesterday, but no. I'm done. No brown sugar cinnamon, no s'mores, no wild berry, no special holiday limited flavors, no Fruit Loop, which is so delicious, until they have a deal. And I would ask you all to stand with me, not just in the Pop-Tarts, but on a lot of other products. There are a lot, that's true, but there are alternatives. We can eat other foods and show support for the workers.
It's possible. You're right.
Hurt.
I mean, once Cheez-Its was on the list, I had an issue too.
Oh, you're a big Cheez-Its fan? Oh, geez. Okay. But sadly, reminder, by the way.
Sadly, this boycott is gonna put 10 to 15 years on both of our lives.
Totally good. Oh, I'm not gonna eat healthy now. I'm just gonna eat something else bad. Anyway, reminder, over 10,000 John Deere workers recently secured 10% raises and improved benefits after a strike, and they did have to reject offered deals, by the way. And you have other strikes going on. The Starbucks union vote in Buffalo actually ends today. So there's a lot of other efforts going on. We just wanted to make sure that you knew what was going on with the Kellogg one. And by the way, if you haven't already noticed it, the new emoji, the memorial to the Fox Christmas tree is now up on YouTube. So if you're a member, you get access to it. You can be any level of member. So if you've been waiting, light it up a little bit, okay? In the chat with the flaming Christmas tree. Cassie did an amazing job on that. Okay, now we need to get a t-shirt. Anyway, with that, why don't we jump into something completely different? We're gonna show you a video. This is gonna be a cold open. I don't know if we've ever had this person in a cold open before, but let's jump into this video.
Believe in humanitarianism, if you believe America is a force for good that serves as a model for other nations to emulate, if you believe that the crushing of the Yemeni people must be stopped, then you must vote for this resolution of disapproval. We have a chance to tell the Crown Prince that American arms sales will end until he gives up his starvation campaign.
That was good from Senator Paul there, JR. He is standing to oppose the continued sale of massive amounts of weapons to Saudi Arabia that will inevitably be used against the people of Yemen or further contribute to the chaos that has led to so much death and suffering there. And Rand Paul was right there. That feels weird. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, generally what the Pauls, Rand and his dad Ron, they were always the libertarian slash conservative slash Republicans that were the ones who were against the wars and the warring and the killings and the horrible things that other, you know, entities would do to their people violently, right? This should be on brand. This is what's supposed to work, but this is the things that are kind of silently, quietly said when Trump was in office, because Trump was also trying to push that he's anti-war guy until he's pro-war. But then right after that, he's anti again. But you're supposed to have this standard. So this shouldn't, it doesn't sound out of the ordinary coming from Rand Paul, is my point. It's just that it was a little bit more subdued when someone had more power above him that didn't agree with it necessarily. So it just shows a little bit where his, when he has the ability to be truthful versus when he just kind of has to shut up and sit back, and make sure he doesn't say too much.
And by the way, while on these sorts of issues, he can be mostly right, that doesn't mean that he always sticks to his principles. I still remember when he was running in the Republican primary, he was like, I'm against foreign aid, and so we're not gonna do foreign aid. And people were like, not to Israel. And he was like, yes, not to Israel too, no foreign aid. And then the Republicans are like, wait, not to Israel? And he was like, okay, to Israel, but not to anywhere else. So his values only go so far. But in this case, he is right. And we are not the only people who are a little bit surprised to be having to talk about him today. Let's go on to a little bit more video from that debate.
I find myself in the somewhat uncomfortable and unusual position of agreeing with Senator Paul. And let me thank him and Senator Lee for their hard work in reclaiming Congress's congressional war powers, another very important issue. The understanding that it is Congress that has the constitutional responsibility to authorize war, not the president, should in fact transcend partisan disagreements.
Yeah, I love to see Bernie Sanders negging another senator there, but that's what happened. And I want to catch you up on this process because we only have a few more minutes. But they were trying to stop the sale of these weapons. This was a resolution that would have blocked US arms to Saudi Arabia. It did, however, fail 67 to 30. It would have stopped the sale of hundreds of advanced medium range air missiles, missile rail launchers, spare parts, support and logistics services to the Saudi monarchy. But President Joe Biden strongly opposed the resolution, even though he used to pretend that he was going to stop these sorts of sales to Saudi Arabia back during the campaign. By the way, US Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was a member of Raytheon's board of directors. I'm sure that had nothing to do with it whatsoever. Democrats who voted to sink the measure include Dianne Feinstein of the progressive state of California, Amy Klobuchar, Joe Manchin, Bob Menendez. Hey, what do you know, cinema? White House, Chris Murphy of Connecticut, that hurts a little bit. But some Democrats did support the measure. Cory Booker, Dick Durbin, Gillibrand, Markey, Schumer, Warnock, Warren, Wyden, Bernie Sanders, obviously. Some of them might have known that it was gonna succeed anyway, so you can't say for sure what they really believed, but they at least voted the right way. By the way, a strong majority of Americans opposed the sale, but again, that would only matter in a democracy.
Yeah, I mean, why not? It's the beat goes on. And as you said, that's actually one of the things that sticks out is the people who voted for against it, many people knew where this is gonna go. And you can have your name be on the correct side. It's just you never really know what your elected official truly believes or where their principles are, or if they're listening to what their constituents are asking them to do. Because there's so many other factors that come in. Now they can go and top where they voted on this, whether or not they believe it or not, whether or not the next time they will, who knows? But there's a win there for some people.
Yeah, 100%. By the way, after that, the $770 billion defense budget also passed. So even though we ended a war and it's more than Biden had requested, and they're giving more of these, literally more jets than the Pentagon asked for, more attack submarines, more destroyers. Like, they didn't even ask for it, and they were probably exaggerating anyway, but they did give it to them. Okay.
Can you imagine having a job where you're given stuff that you didn't ask for?
Extra stuff? I mean, they brought in a lot of candy to the kitchen earlier, and I didn't ask for that, but it was nice. Anyway, with that, we are rapidly running out of time. So if you've been watching on our linear platforms, thank you so much for that. But if you're one of the many you watch on our members app or on YouTube or on Twitch, we do have more news to get to, including an update on thebetter.com guy, some amazing stuff from Mark Meadows' book that we're gonna discuss, and more. All that's gonna be coming up after just a short break. So don't go anywhere. JR and I'll be back for more Big News Wednesday after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.